Let us notice together Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so this morning we're going to try to answer this question. How do we use opportunity? One of the key words in this verse, yes, was opportunity, as we saw. And this Greek word, kairos, implies that which time gives opportunity to do. And so let's look at four ways of using opportunity to help us examine ourselves and see how we are using opportunity. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE, Preparing for Eternity. Is that what we're doing? Well, that's the most important thing we could be doing. So let's all prepare for that heavenly home. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville, as we come together here at Morgan Street to study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But, of course, we need to have a proper attitude, and thus that would be in spirit, John 4:24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else we want to mention, we always look forward to having Bible studies. If that's something you're interested in, please contact us. We'll set it up at your convenience. And we want to mention this as well. If you have Bible questions, please send those to us. Your comments, positive or negative, they're welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And let's not forget our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our answering this question, how do we use opportunity? And we're going to look at four ways of using opportunity. And hopefully we'll all see what we ourselves are doing with the opportunity that we have in serving God and doing His will. So we'll start out with a negative. Some mistreat opportunity. Now, we don't want to be in this category. So we're going to look at some examples, starting out with the Old Testament, of those who abused opportunity. Now, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll see how Saul, who was the first king of Israel, started out very humble. In chapter 9, verse 21, and Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" Well, Saul started out humble, didn't he? And chapter 10, verse 21, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matra was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Well, it turned out he was hiding himself among the baggage, verse 22. And so, you see, he was off to a good start. And, of course, God chose him, no doubt, because he was humble. But then, when we go over to chapter 15, we're going to find, sadly, Saul mistreated his opportunity of being the first appointed king of Israel. And he was the Lord's anointed. In other words, God appointed him as the first king of Israel. So what an opportunity he had in that role of king. But here we're going to find how Saul mistreated that wonderful opportunity. Chapter 15, in verse 11, as the Lord said unto Samuel, saying, "It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieveth Samuel." And he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel was hurt deeply because of this, yes. But Saul spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them as God had commanded, back here in verse 9 of chapter 15. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly, but kept the good. And God didn't want that. No, that did not, God would not accept it, because Saul, although he's saying he's going to sacrifice these animals, well, God wanted obedience over the sacrifice. And so he then was rejected. So we need to, take a lesson from this opportunity that King Saul had but mistreated. Now, let's go to another example, and this would be in the New Testament. Judas, as we all know, Judas Iscariot was chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12 disciples. Luke chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. What a great opportunity to be taught at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. He is seeing the life of Christ in person. He's seeing the miracles that Jesus did, certainly confirming that he was truly God in the flesh. Luke 22:6, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Luke 22:6, there it is. Here's Judas with an opportunity as one of the 12 chosen disciples. He would have been, along with all the other apostles on the day the church began preaching the gospel, had he not mistreated opportunity. But you see, in Matthew 27, 4 and 5, Judas was sorry for what he had done when he betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, but did not repent, but went out and hung himself. He could have been forgiven. You see how he mistreated opportunity and lost his soul? He lost his office because he was replaced. The other apostles, when they died, their office was not replaced. So, here's a question for all of us this morning. What about us today? Do we abuse opportunities? Well, sadly to say, some in the Lord's church are setting a very poor example of true Christianity. And let's mention this. Financial success is a good opportunity to support good works. But some are not seeing that, sadly to say. We have the means to spread the gospel to all the world. It's our responsibility, as we're charged to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28. Yes. 19 and 20. That's the Great Commission, isn't it? So, we're given that charge, and here we have the means, we have, monetary gains, with so many of us in this country very well off. And thus we could take the gospel to all the world. Not everybody can go overseas, no, but certainly a number can, and we can support them. But let's go on in our study and notice now how some mistreat, or rather, I'm sorry, some miss opportunity. We just finished some mistreat opportunity. Now here is another negative, and it's where some miss opportunity. Like the Jews who rejected Christ, they're an example of missing opportunity. Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And that's what happened, wasn't it? Paul and Barnabas, yes, went on a missionary journey. In John 5:39-40, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. You see the opportunity they had to hear Christ. Certainly he proved that he was the only begotten Son of God in the flesh, and he was fulfilling the scriptures, the Old Testament prophecy. Search them, you'll see. But they missed the opportunity to do so. John 12:42-43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Notice that. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, the opportunity that they missed to obey the gospel when the church would begin later after Christ's death on the cross, but they're not confessing Christ because they were more concerned about being put out of the synagogue. Why? Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So what about us today? Are we missing opportunity after opportunity? One day, it will be too late. The door will be shut, and salvation will not be available. When the Lord comes again, it's too late. When we take that last breath, if we haven't submitted to the gospel of Christ, it's too late. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. That's right. Matthew 11:21, Jesus said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Look at the opportunity that you had, but you missed it. We don't want that to be said of us. Of course not. But let us go on. Here's number three. Now this is getting to the positive. Some meet opportunity and welcome it. And for example, let's go to Acts chapter 8. We'll start with verse 4 of Acts 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Here's Philip, the evangelist, preaching in Samaria. Yes, and there was great joy when he preached Christ unto them. So they had an opportunity to hear the gospel, and they met that opportunity and welcomed it. And notice verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They obeyed the gospel. That's meeting opportunity and welcoming it. Of course it is. And still in Acts chapter 8, you have Philip who welcomed the opportunity to teach an individual after preaching to a city. Now he goes to one person, the Ethiopian eunuch, who is traveling along, and Philip joined himself to the chariot as he welcomed him in, and he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, but he didn't understand who was being spoken of. And Philip began preaching Jesus. Notice verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? You see, he took advantage of the opportunity. He met it and welcomed it. And then, as you see in verses 36 through 39, what happened? Well, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made the good confession. He believed. He repented of his sins. Now he's making the good confession. And notice verse 38, And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And you see what came next, and when they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He had met opportunity and welcomed it in hearing the truth, learning about Jesus Christ as our Savior and the sacrificial Lamb as Isaiah portrayed him, and thus he responded. He welcomed that opportunity, obeying the gospel. So what about us today? Are we eager to teach others, to help those in need? Well, we certainly are to appreciate what God has done for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, we all are to know. So, we must obey and not just say that we love Jesus, but we need to show it. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. So the question is, are we keeping his commandments? Are we meeting opportunity and welcoming that opportunity as well? Now, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we could use the word only here. We're not to love in word only, neither in tongue only, but how? In deed and in truth. Let's show it. But let's be sure that we meet opportunity and welcome that opportunity. And now let's go on to our fourth matter of showing four ways of using opportunity. And this one would be the best of all four. As we've seen, two negative, one positive. Here is another positive. But I would say this is something that would set us apart. And that would be, some look for and move toward opportunity. They're not just waiting for it to come along and then welcoming it. Of course, that's good, but what about looking for it and moving toward opportunity? For example, with Mary, the sister of Martha, here in Mark chapter 14, let's go over there and notice verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And Mary, you see, had done what she could by making the most of her opportunity to anoint Christ. So she moved towards opportunity after seeing, here's that opportunity with the Lord being here, I'm going to take advantage of this, and moved right towards it. Notice verses 8 and 9. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. This also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. You see what we're doing right now? We're speaking of Mary having anointed the Lord's body. And thus she looked and moved towards opportunity. And here's another example. The Apostle Paul, he was one who looked for opportunities to spread the gospel, and he moved towards the opportunity to do so. As we study in the book of Acts, of course, we can see, yes, in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, for example, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Paul was a man who did not rest on what he had done. He looked forward. He pressed on, forgetting those things that are behind. Now, he needed to forget about being a part of persecuting the church. That would weigh him down. He was forgiven of that. But also, he would forget his accomplishments and not rest on what he had done. He kept on and preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. And how many will be in heaven because of the Apostle Paul and his work in the Lord's service? Well, notice how the book of Acts closes. Paul had appealed to Caesar, was taken to Rome as a prisoner. He was with Roman soldiers around the clock, chained to him, but yet he would teach people. And even some of those guards must have obeyed the gospel, because some in the Praetorian guards saluted, yes, as members of the church. So here's how the book of Acts closes. It doesn't tell us what happened when Paul went before Caesar. Well, we know from secular history he was released, but here, of course, and he was imprisoned the second time, and then that's later when he was beheaded. But as the book of Acts closes, Acts 28, 30 and 31, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. What was Paul doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things. And yes, notice, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how it ends. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Even though he's in chains, he's still writing inspired letters. He's still converting others to Christ by preaching the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. He's teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has confidence because he has the truth. He's not afraid, intimidated. You see how Paul looked for opportunity and he moved toward it. And he found it, did he not? So what about us today? Are we looking with open eyes, or have we closed them? Are we moving towards opportunity, or are we sitting still? Well, all of us, myself included, need to look inward, examine ourselves. Notice Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. That is, redeeming, that's to purchase or to buy. Yes, use that time wisely. And then we started out with Galatians 6:10. Let's notice again, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So are we buying up opportunities in our service to God? Well, we need to, again, answer honestly. And if not, it's not too late to change. Let's do what God would have us to do. Serve Him with all our might. Love, of course, with all our heart, soul, and might, and mind. Strength, John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. We don't want to be walking in darkness, not knowing where we're going. We want to be walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another, knowing that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us. So, we have seen four ways of using opportunity. Now we need to be honest with ourselves, which of these ways best describes us. Are we mistreating opportunity? Are we missing out altogether of opportunity? Or are we meeting opportunity and welcoming it? And then lastly, as we've just looked at, are we looking for opportunity and moving towards that opportunity? Well, the greatest opportunity that one has in this life is to obey the gospel and have eternal life after this life is over. This may be your last opportunity to respond to the Lord's invitation. We don't know that. I don't know for sure if there's a tomorrow, neither do you. There may be many more, but there may not. The question is, are we ready to take advantage of the opportunity we have to obey the gospel? We need to first hear the truth, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the next step is to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. That should be, you know, very well received as we study the word of God. Now we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We should be motivated to repent, to make a change of wills. We're going to do God's will now, not our own. We're going to move in the right direction. And Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And now we're ready to make the good confession as the Ethiopian eunuch did. Yes, he was ready to be baptized, but he needed to make the good confession first. And he did. He stated that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Yes, Romans 10:9-10. That's done unto salvation. Now, here's the next step where we're going to contact the precious blood of Christ to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. That's what they did the day the church began, and every conversion thereafter, they were all baptized for the remission of their sins. As know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now before you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're outside of Christ. That's right. So here's where we contact his precious blood in that watery grave. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And now the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.